Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here we are as the week is progressing. It is now Thursday, the 8th of February at 7 o'clock in the morning Central Standard Time. We're going to be looking at a lot of different news items in the next 3 hours. I'm working very hard on getting back up to speed with guest recruitment. I think I mentioned that tomorrow we're having two special guests on this show. Shireen Nashat of the Persian human rights organization Sarbazan is going to be with us for an hour and a half tomorrow, speaking to us from Los Angeles about all kinds of things going on when it comes to the whole question of the relationship between Iran and the United States and what seems to be moving in closer and closer into the direction of some sort of tragic conflict. In the last half hour of tomorrow's show, we're going to be joined by Chalmers Johnson. He has a new book out entitled Nemesis, The End of the American Empire. And he's also someone who spent 4 years from 1968 to 1972 with the Office of the National Intelligence Estimate Organization of the Central Intelligence Agency. He has been for 30 years a professor of both the San Diego and Berkeley campuses of the University of California, Berkeley. Both of those guests tomorrow ought to be bringing a lot of information to the fore in regard to news, and specifically the news that relates to this whole issue of what would appear to be a larger American involvement in the Middle East in the way of a war. And we underscore war because we are talking about the beginning of a third world war, in my judgment, as we begin to look at this whole question of Iran and Iraq and the whole issue of Palestine and the failure of American foreign policy to resolve that situation. We welcome a new affiliate for Mark Dankoff's America and the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been mentioning this ongoingly this week. Beginning on Monday, we picked up WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station. It's going to be broadcasting our materials throughout the American South and in the greater Memphis, Tennessee region. We certainly salute those folks, welcome them aboard, thank them for carrying this show. And we hope and pray that this is the beginning of a major turn of events, both for this show as well as for this network, in regard to getting an ever-increasing wider audience for the kinds of things that we need to be talking about that corporate America and corporate media are clearly not talking about, and what seems to be, again, a move toward a wider range of globalization issues generally, and unfortunately what appears to be specifically the move toward a third world war. Interesting things about the news release that came out for this show and for the Republic Broadcasting Network, courtesy of the broadcast interview source of Washington, D.C. I noticed that that news release is now being picked up on a number of fronts internationally. Al Bawaba, the Middle East Gateway in Amman, Jordan, is carrying a copy of that news release, so that will be disseminated throughout the Middle East, one trusts. As a result of that Al Bawaba post, there's another organization up in Canada, a worldwide Persian-Iranian human website that has picked up on that news release. And it's slowly but surely making its way through a number of quarters to create a wider audience for this show and also for the Republic Broadcasting Network. Of course, my friends at the Paleo Conservative News Service, Breaking All the Rules News, are carrying that particular news release. And I hope in the next couple of days to have a lot of new posts on that news service. We have not been posting to that too much in the last few days because I've been trying to get back up to speed in terms of my live radio broadcast for this show. But hopefully, by, say, Sunday, BATR News, which you can find at BATR.net/BATR News, will have a lot of new posts for you that will get into the whole wider question of, again, what is happening in this country, what's happening in the world, and how it's likely to change your life and mine in the days that are ahead. When we come back, we're going to be looking at a series of news stories, all of which get into the depiction of a larger pattern that's quite disturbing. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's Thursday, the 8th of February, 2007. It's approximately 8 minutes after 7 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. We're going to be looking at certain stories in the establishment press today, and then comparing that with certain things in the non-establishment press that are going to enable us to dig a little deeper. But suffice it to say, it's very clear that the wheels are coming off of the whole issue of the interventionist foreign policy that we have undertaken in Iraq since March of 2003 in particular. Interesting story today from USA Today. More troops died in Iraq over the past 4 months than in any similar period of war. USA Today is repeating an Associated Press byline that indicates that more American troops were killed in combat in Iraq over the past 4 months, at least 334 through January 31st, than in any comparable stretch since the war began, according to an AP analysis of casualty records. You can find that today at usatoday.com. And as you go through it, particularly with all of the urban counterinsurgency warfare that we've been warning about in these last 4 years that American troops would find to be increasingly untenable, We're now seeing establishment reports, including Wolf Blitzer's report last night on in the Situation Room for CNN, that indicate that the helicopter situation for American forces is increasingly dreadful. You kind of go back to what happened, of course, to the Soviet Union and Afghanistan, and the sale on the part of the CIA to the Mujahideen in Afghanistan of these Stinger handheld, shoulder-held missiles that were bringing down Soviet helicopters. Now we're seeing the same thing happening a generation later to American helicopters in Iraq. And whether you're talking about CH-46s or Apaches or whatever, quite clearly there is an increasing risk to these kids who are flying these aircraft. It's a very, very difficult situation. And, of course, whether you're looking at Baghdad or Anbar province or Najaf or whatever, it's quite clearly an increasingly bad circumstance, both in the air as well as on the ground. And this AP USA Today story tells the tale of the tape. That more U.S. troops have died in Iraq over the past 4 months than in any similar period of war. Now, when you look at that particular story, that dovetails with something else that CNN has going today on the front page of their internet news service, indicating that the deadly jobs of Iraq contractors are now being examined by the Congress. That, of course, is in conjunction with the deaths in the last couple of days of these Black Hawk, not only some of these Black Hawk folks, but this whole issue that's come to the fore in regard to the deaths of these people with Blackwater USA. This now has prompted a so-called congressional investigation. There's going to be a House committee that's investigating the role of these private security firms in Iraq. And it begs the question, with all of the stuff that has come out in the non-establishment press in recent years about Blackwater USA and other private contractors doing various things in Iraq, we find ourselves again asking the question, why is it that we find ourselves dealing with a circumstance where it's only after tragedy has occurred that politicians and House and Senate committees suddenly come together to begin asking the questions that should have been asked from the get-go? This is just another example of it. And when you look at that story in tandem with the USA Today story on all the deaths of these U.S. Troops in Iraq over the past 4 months, more so than in any other similar period since the war began, we then come to the front page of today's Washington Post. Boy, I tell you, if you're not looking at positioning when you look at this story, it's absolutely enough to turn your stomach. Now, the Washington Post today on page A01, that's the front page of the paper this morning in Washington, has a post by a Washington Post staff writer by the name of Murray talking about seven GOP senators backing war debate. Lawmakers had blocked action on troop resolution. Get a load of this. According to the Washington Post this morning, page one, Senate Republicans who earlier this week helped block deliberations on a resolution opposing President Bush's new troop deployments in Iraq changed course yesterday and vowed to use every tactic at their disposal to ensure a full and open debate. In a letter distributed yesterday evening to Senate leaders, John Warner of Virginia, Chuck Hagel of Nebraska, and five other GOP supporters of the resolution threatened to attach their measure to any bill sent to the floor in the coming weeks, noting that the war is, quote, the most pressing issue of our time, unquote, the senators declared, quote, we will explore all of our options under the Senate procedures and practices to ensure a full and open debate, unquote. The letter sent to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, was not more specific about the Republican senator's strategy for reviving the war debate. But under the chamber's rules, senators have wide latitude in slowing the progress of legislation and in offering amendments, regardless of whether they have anything to do with the bill. The letter began circulating yesterday evening after it became apparent the Senate was deadlocked over the war resolution and Reid was prepared to move on to other matters. McConnell and many in his party have aggressively defended their decision to block the bipartisan resolution as an issue of fairness, because Democrats would not agree to GOP procedural demands. But some Republicans were uneasy about appearing to have stymied the debate. The letter appeared so suddenly that although it was addressed to Reid, the Democratic leader had not seen his copy before Warner read the text on the Senate floor. Quote, Monday's procedural vote should not be interpreted as any lessening of our resolve to go forward advocating the concepts, unquote, of the resolution, the letter said. Quote, the current stalemate is unacceptable to us and to the people of this country, unquote. House Democratic leaders are attempting to formulate their own non-binding expression of disapproval of Bush's decision to send an additional 21,500 troops to battle, and they intend to devote 3 days next week to debating it. A top Pentagon leader weighed in yesterday on the war debate and appeared to undercut the argument advanced by the White House and many GOP lawmakers that a congressional debate challenging the Bush plan would hurt troop morale. Quote, there's no doubt in my mind that the dialogue here in Washington strengthens our democracy, period, unquote, Marine General Peter Pace, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, testified before the House Armed Services Committee. He added that potential enemies may take some comfort from the rancor, but said they, quote, don't have a clue how democracy works, unquote. Congress is grappling with several non-binding resolutions, each of which addresses Bush's deployment plan. Even if public support for the war declines and conditions on the ground grow increasingly perilous, the debate has particularly vexed Republicans who are reluctant to abandon Bush at a critical moment, but who also regard the party's defeat in the November midterm elections as a signal that voters want Congress to challenge White House war policy more aggressively. The Senate was poised to debate a non-binding resolution opposing the additional troop deployment and calling for a diplomatic initiative to settle the conflict in Iraq. Republicans refused to allow the resolution to reach the floor, relying on a standard procedural objection. Five of the Senate's seven signatories to yesterday's letter, including Warner, the bipartisan resolution's chief author, had voted Monday to block the debate. By showing party solidarity, they had hoped to pressure Democrats into allowing the consideration of other non-binding measures, namely two that are more supportive of the administration's policy. But Democratic leaders refused to relent, and the long-awaited war debate, or at least the opening chapter, ended almost as soon as it began. The Republican senators attempted in their letter to clear up the apparent contradiction. Quote, Monday's procedural vote should not be interpreted as any lessening of our resolve to go forward, unquote, the senators insisted. But they voiced the GOP's leadership view that other resolutions should receive an equal vetting. Quote, the Senate should be allowed to work its will on our resolution as well as the concepts being brought forward by other senators, unquote, the letter stated. The other Republican senators who signed the letter were Susan Collins and Olympia Snowe of Maine, Norm Coleman of Minnesota, Gordon Smith of Oregon, and George Voinovich of Ohio. Democrats brushed off the Republicans' declaration as too little too late. Reid spokesman Jim Manley said in a statement, quote, Senator Reid gave Senator Warner and the others a chance to vote for their own resolution on Monday, but only two of them chose to do so. Hopefully this letter signifies that the others have had a change of heart and will be willing to vote for their own resolution in the future, unquote. After reading the text on the Senate floor, Warner hurried back to his office, declining to answer questions. He would not specify whether he and his allies would seek to block specific bills, including a huge spending package that the Senate is expected to take up today to fund government activities for the current fiscal year. Warner did indicate whether he will attempt to amend the funding package with his resolution. In the letter, the senator said they will offer the resolution, quote, where possible, unquote, on bills as they come before the Senate. House Democrats had hoped for a large bipartisan Senate vote on Warner's resolution to create momentum in the House and to provide maximum pressure on Republicans to go along. But with the Senate at a standstill, House leaders are considering a straightforward resolution that opposes the troop increase without the multiple provisions that complicated Warner's text. Senior House Democrats predicted that their measure will attract overwhelming party support, possibly as many as 30 GOP votes. That, in fact, is a report coming from page one of today's Washington Post. Now, as you look at this whole question, then, there are a number of things that continue to come to the fore. Where was the Congress of the United States prior to March of 2003? Clearly, we have a group of people now in the House and the Senate, although there is, of course, a different composition since the first Tuesday in November. But we have a group of individuals now in both parties that claim that they are for a free and open and fair debate on this question in Iraq, along with a reexamination of the policy. But when we come back, we will look at how filled with holes that argument really is, what the political posturing means, and who is really behind this push for a wider war in the Middle East. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all... They're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network on this Thursday, the 8th of February, 2007. It's about 7:23 in the morning, Central Standard Time. Want again to greet our new affiliate, WMQM, AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station. We're very glad to have them aboard with Mark Dankoff's America on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And as I was mentioning before, this broadcast interview source news release that was done out of Washington, D.C. a couple of days ago has now wound its way to Breaking All the Rules News, the paleoconservative news service up in upstate New York. By this coming Sunday, there are going to be a series of new news stories posted to that news service. We have also been picked up in regard to this sort of publicity by Al Bawaba in Amman, Jordan, the Middle East gateway. If you're not familiar with Al Bawaba, it's one of the leading news services in the world for Middle Eastern politics and analysis, again, based in Amman, Jordan. They have picked up on that news release talking about Mark Dankoff's America, also talking about the Republic Broadcasting Network. And Al-Bawaba in Amman, Jordan, has provided some links to some of the guests that we have had on this show in recent days and weeks, so that was very nice of them to do so. Also, Sarah Frazan, the Persian Human Rights Organization up in Canada, has taken note of this show and taken note of the Republic Broadcasting Network. So we're beginning to make some headway in regard to getting into a wider audience and a wider listening circle for some of the things that we're talking about, both domestically and in terms of the continental United States, as well as internationally, as we seem to be moving closer and closer toward an international conflict that will involve Iran. You can give me a call today at 1-800-313-9443 if you have a question or a comment. Again, that is 1-800-313-9443. But back to our stories that we've been analyzing. Here we have in the establishment press today, with CNN, with AP, and now with the Washington Post, the depiction of a scramble on the part of the political establishment in this country to explain away this war, to explain away the process that led to it, and to continue to obscure the truth about who and what is really behind this conflict. As we were looking today, you have a situation, of course, according to USA Today and the Associated Press, where in the past 4 months, more U.S. troops have died in Iraq than in any similar period of time. CNN.com and AP are reporting today that the House of Representatives is setting up a committee to look at this whole issue of the role of private defense contractors and private contractors generally operating in Iraq after the deaths of these Blackwater USA employees. And now, of course, the Washington Post on page one this morning is talking about this absolutely absurd posturing on the part of people in both of the major parties in the U.S. Senate, talking about this whole issue of the war debate. As I've said before repeatedly on this show, and I'll say it again, when it comes to this whole situation with Iraq, both of the major parties are trying to hide who and what it is that was originally involved in motivating the administration to commit us militarily into Iraq. They are trying to hide who and what it is that is pushing for this war with Iran on a preemptive basis. And, of course, when we talk about the war itself, when it comes to the whole issue of the so-called debate surrounding it, it seems to me that morally, politically, and constitutionally, this was a debate that needed to be held before we got involved in this thing in March of 2003. This whole business of debating a war after it's already started, debating a war after a chief executive has committed the armed forces of the United States without the constitutional imprimatur of the Congress, with all of the attendant problems that have come up in the last 4 years, that's a debate that is very much delayed. Let's have the debate, and let's have a congressionally, a constitutionally authorized congressional declaration of war, folks, if we're going to go to war with somebody. Let's make sure that the American people understand the issues. Let's make sure that there is a declaration of war that meets the constitutional standard of Article 1, Section 8. And then, from that point on forward, we have at least established certain foundations that should always be the case before this country is committed to an international conflict. As it stands now, once again, for the second time in my brief lifetime, we are involved in an unwinnable war of counterinsurgency. In Southeast Asia, of course, a generation and a half ago. Now it's in Central Asia and the Middle East that has no end in sight. And we, of course, are talking about a situation where, depending on whose figures one is using, instead of spending the $50 billion that Paul Wolfowitz, now president of the World Bank, indicated would be necessary to prosecute this war successfully and to occupy Iraq successfully, we are no longer at $50 billion max. We are somewhere between $400 billion and $500 billion. So we are approaching, one way or another, $500 billion in this thing and counting. And, of course, as I mentioned yesterday, the Wall Street Journal has indicated that Mr. Bush is asking for another $100 billion this year for this conflict and $145 billion for it next year. And that's without including a war with Iran. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. When we come back, let's take a deeper look at who and what is really behind this conflict. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is Thursday, the 8th of February, 2007. It's about 7:33 in the morning, Central Standard Time. Again, we want to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That is a 50,000-watt station that is going to be carrying Mark Dankos, America, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And that will be reaching a very wide audience, I suspect, both in the greater Memphis area and Tennessee, as well as throughout the American South. We're really glad to have you folks on board and pray that this is a very good and very long and mutually profitable relationship, not only for the stations involved, but also for the listeners. And I wanted to mention again, of course, that you can call me today at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. If you have any questions or comments on some of the news stories that we're discussing, and as I mentioned earlier, tomorrow We have two very fantastic guests on the show, Shireen Nashat of Sarbazan, the Persian Human Rights Organization based out in Los Angeles, and Chalmers Johnson will be on for 30 minutes tomorrow. He was with the Office of National Intelligence Estimates with the Central Intelligence Agency from 1968 to 1972. He is a professor, long-tenured professor at the University of California, both in Berkeley and in San Diego. And he has a new book on the dying state of the American Empire, as it were, the last days of the American Empire, entitled Nemesis. I just read a review of that book in the Los Angeles Times yesterday, and we're going to be discussing that with Dr. Johnson tomorrow briefly. I would suspect that although he would not share, I'm guessing, would not share many of the political presuppositions that would characterize me or would characterize the other hosts of the Republic Broadcasting Network, that nonetheless on this issue, it sounds like he would be right in there with us. More and more folks are coming to the fore to say that this Iraq situation is a complete catastrophe. The idea of attacking Iran is an apocalyptic catastrophe. And none of the establishment figures in either of the major political parties have a snowball's idea in a certain lower region of the earth as to what to do about this circumstance. And quite clearly, when you look at the Washington Post today and see this asinine post on page one about U.S. senators backing a so-called war debate after having previously blocked action on any troop resolutions, it gives you an idea, again, about the magnitude of the problem. Now, who is really behind this war? That's a debatable topic, but the two chief targets of suspicion, of course, have been first and foremost the Israeli lobby, and secondly, there's been a lot of stuff bandied about in both the non-establishment as well as the establishment press about the whole issue of oil and natural gas resources and pipelines and this whole business that surrounds international consortiums that deal with that sort of thing. But as far as the Israeli lobby is concerned, I wanted to go back just briefly to a couple of stories that are a number of days old and then compare those stories with some things that have come out in the last 24 hours. And I think we will begin to see the slip showing in regard to the corporate news media. Quite obviously, despite their best attempts to obscure the truth, from time to time the truth makes its way, however briefly, to those particular circles, and then we can judge things accordingly. Do you remember going back a number of days ago to the whole issue of the Jewish Telegraphic Agency? I do monitor their news posts on a daily basis. If you're not familiar with the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, it is an organization that deals specifically with Jewish issues. It is, as it were, the AP or UPI of worldwide Judaism. And if you go back to a story that appeared a number of days ago, do you remember when the Republican Jewish Coalition was calling on Wesley Clark to apologize for claiming that, quote, New York money people, unquote, were trying to push the United States into war with Iran? Reading directly from this Jewish Telegraphic Agency source, we see Wesley Clark, a former NATO commander and likely Democratic presidential candidate in 2008, was quoted on the Huffington Post political blog as saying that his greatest worry is that the Bush administration will attack Iran. Attending swearing-in parties for the new U.S. Congress, Clark told Arianna Huffington, quote, the Jewish community is divided, but there is so much pressure being channeled from the New York money people to the office seekers, unquote. In its ads, the Republican Jewish Coalition says the comment, quote, echoed a classic anti-Semitic stereotype about Jews and money, unquote. Last week, the Anti-Defamation League accepted an explanation from Clark, who said in a letter that he backed dialogue with Iran while not removing a military option. Sounds about as clear, doesn't it, as what the Washington Post is talking about today when it comes to the so-called senatorial debate. But anyway, back to this post on Clark coming from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. The general is quoted as saying that my position on Iran should not be misinterpreted, defined out of context, or used to create conspiracy theories about one group's influence on U.S. foreign policy. There is no place in these critical policy debates for anti-Semitic conspiracy theories that blame the Jewish community for the war in Iraq and for action against Iran, unquote. General Clark's apologies are an attempt, it seems to me, to deny the obvious. You can't help but notice when you look at the Jerusalem Post and Haaretz on top of the Jewish Telegraphic Agency that the whole business of a war with Iran is precisely what all of those elements of the international Jewish media are talking about. They're promoting it. They're advocating it for the most part. And when you start seeing these continued quotations of various people with high-level connections to the Israeli government and the Israeli intelligence community and the Israeli military, it begs the question as to how badly they want this war and why they want it. Now, keeping in mind General Clark's statements as they were reported by the Jewish Telegraphic Agency some days ago, we then go to Tuesday, the 23rd of January. Go to a site called totallyjewish.com, where we see a quotation here coming from Israel that involves former United States Senator John Edwards, where he says, quote, "Iran is serious about its threats," unquote. Former U.S. Senator John Edwards has told an audience in Israel, quote, "The challenges in your own backyard represent an unprecedented threat to the world and Israel," unquote. The candidate for the 2008 Democratic presidential nomination told the Herzliya conference, referring mainly to the Iranian threat. In his speech, John Edwards criticized the United States' previous indifference to the Iranian issue, saying they have not done enough to deal with the threat, hinting to possible military action. Edwards stressed that, quote, "In order to ensure Iran never gets nuclear weapons, all options must remain on the table," unquote. On the recent UN Security Council resolution against Iran, Edwards said more serious political and economic steps should be taken. Quote, "Iran must know that the world won't back down," unquote. And then, of course, addressing the Second Lebanon War, according to TotallyJewish.com, while in Israel, Edwards accused the Islamic Republic of having a significant role, saying Hezbollah was an instrument of Iran and Iranian rockets were what made the organization's attack on Israel possible. Edwards goes on in this conversation, of course, to link Syria to certain actions. And as we continue on down the page, it is clear, of course, that the senator has all his bases covered on Iran and Hezbollah and Lebanon. He spoke out against the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. He indicates that Israel does not have a real partner that is committed to peace and so forth and so on. Keep that in mind, then, what General Clark said some days ago about New York money people with Jewish background are promoting a war with Iran and then trying to retract those statements in an apology to the Anti-Defamation League. Then a few days later, we have John Edwards in Israel talking about the Israeli government's line all the way down the aisle in regard to this situation in the Middle East. Then let's continue on to more recent times then, keeping Wes Clark and keeping John Edwards in mind as we proceed. Let's then go down the page to today. And there you have it. I have the text in front of me of the statements that were made by Hillary Clinton to the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. Have pretty much a good working transcript, I think, of what she said before that group. Al Jazeera.info, which is based in this country, not abroad, has this post as of today. Let me read Senator Hillary Clinton's remarks to the American-Israel Political Affairs Committee, as that has been posted today, keeping in mind the Wes Clark story of some days ago that was reported in the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, keeping in mind the TotallyJewish.com post about Senator John Edwards' speech in Israel some days ago that towed the Israeli line all the way down to the last jot and tittle. Now we have Senator Hillary Clinton coming to the fore. Listen to this, folks. This is Hillary Clinton talking about the whole issue of America, Iran, and Israel. Senator Clinton begins, quote, "I am so honored to be here and once again to speak on behalf of the causes and concerns that we share. And there is no doubt that IPAC is at the forefront of efforts to advocate on behalf of Israel and on behalf of the shared interests in security and democracy that form the unbreakable bond between our two nations. I thank you for supporting IPAC because, as active citizens, you are serving an essential function. When you advocate, you lobby. When you speak out on issues that matter to the Jewish community and to Israel, you are speaking also on behalf of issues that are important to the larger community of Americans." I'm going to repeat that statement again by Senator Clinton before IPAC. When you speak out on issues that matter to the Jewish community and to Israel, you are speaking also on behalf of issues that are important to the larger community of Americans. Now, that's an interesting remark, isn't it? Well, we could spend hours talking about that one. She then continues, that's because the bond shared between the U.S. and Israel is based on shared interests, but is rooted in the strength we derive from our shared values. As Americans, we are humbled by Israel's commitment to civic engagement and open debate, free expression, and the rule of law, even in the face of grave dangers. I'm going to editorialize at this point by saying that Senator Clinton apparently has not been in the West Bank or Gaza recently, but we continue. The balance between a life lived in faith and the civic life of a democratic state producing dynamism and vigor in Israeli politics and society. And both Israelis and Americans know so well, a democracy is far more than just holding elections. Democracy has to spring from an active and open citizenry dedicated to tolerance, to respect for differences, to the rule of law, to policies that lift us up, not tear us down as fellow human beings, and to the value of human life. Get a load of that, folks. I'm going to repeat that one more time so that you get the gist of this, and then we'll proceed. This is Senator Hillary Clinton talking to the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Now, keep in mind that IPAC is under investigation for an espionage scandal that involves stealing defense secrets from the government of the United States. Keep in mind, of course, that we are looking at a policy in Palestine generally and in the West Bank and in Gaza specifically that on any given day has resulted in untold numbers of deaths. Keep in mind that we have seen all of the links between Jewish neoconservatives in the American government and the Israeli government and the people who advised George Bush to attack Iraq and who are now involved in trying to promote a war with Iran. In that context, then, let's go back to Senator Clinton and her remarks before IPAC. Quote, and both Israelis and Americans know so well, a democracy is far more than just holding elections. Democracy has to spring from an active and open citizenry dedicated to tolerance, to respect for differences, to the rule of law, to policies that lift us up, not tear us down as fellow human beings, and to the value of human life. So I thank IPAC. I thank your national leadership, Bernice and Howard. I thank the Northeast leadership, including Yossi Siegel and Mike Sachs and so many others. And I don't have to tell you that as we gather tonight, your voice and your activism is needed desperately. This is a moment of great difficulty for Israel and great peril for Israel, for the United States, and for free and democratic nations. Israel is confronting many of the toughest challenges in her history in a neighborhood that is less secure than ever. At this moment of peril, what is vital is that we stand by our friend and our ally, and we stand by our own values. And here again, folks, listen to this. Israel, according to Hillary Clinton, Israel is a beacon of what's right in a neighborhood overshadowed by the wrongs of radicalism, extremism, despotism, and terrorism. We need only to look to one of Israel's greatest threats, namely Iran. Make no mistake, Iran poses a threat not only to Israel, but to the entire Middle East and beyond, including the United States. I don't need to remind this group that about a month ago, the Iranian government hosted a conference in Tehran whose sole purpose was to deny the Holocaust. Now, that conference was beyond the pale of international discourse and acceptable behavior, and we must not treat this situation as business as usual. The gathering was hosted by the leader of the member of a United Nations state and by a leader that has raised serious international concerns over his country's nuclear ambitions and who has called for Israel to be wiped off the map. To deny the Holocaust places Iran's leadership in company with the most despicable bigots and historical revisionists. It is an insult not only to the memory of the millions of Jews who suffered and died in the Shoah, but also to the troops of the United States and its allies who in the fight to liberate Europe from Nazism bore witness to the reality of the Holocaust. Such comments add greater urgency to the necessity to doing everything we can to deny nuclear weapons to Iran. The regime's pro-terrorist, anti-American, anti-Israeli rhetoric only underscores the urgency of our response to the threat that we face. U.S. policy must be clear and unequivocal. We cannot, we should not, and we must not permit Iran to build or acquire nuclear weapons. And in dealing with this threat, as I have said for a very long time, no other option can be taken off the table. Again, no option can be taken off the table. Senator Clinton continues in her remarks to IPAC by saying, quote, Iran is a threat not only because of the hateful rhetoric spewed by its president, not only because of its nuclear ambitions, but because it uses the influence and its revenues in the region to support terrorist elements that are attacking innocent Israelis and now, we believe, attacking American soldiers. Hezbollah's attacks on Israel this summer using Iranian weapons clearly demonstrate Iran's malevolent influence even beyond its borders. It is essential to those of us who care deeply about what is happening in and to Israel to recognize that Israel's struggle is a struggle on behalf of a future where people will be able to live with peace and security. The kidnapping of Israeli soldiers that precipitated the conflicts in Gaza and Lebanon last summer have not yet been resolved, and it is essential that Israel's abducted soldiers are returned unconditionally. I visited with Comet Goldwasser before coming on to the stage. I met with Comet and other family members last summer. Comet came to my office in the Senate, and what an extraordinary young woman she is. Her resolve, her love for her husband, her belief in her country is profound. I have heard her pleas and the pleas of others whose loved ones have been so cruelly taken, and I know how important it is to ensure the safe return of the captured soldiers. That's Hillary Clinton talking to the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. We'll take a further look at some of this text and then analyze what it means when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Thank you.
we're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been looking at a series of news stories today in the establishment press, then going back to create a historical context by which we might understand some of these recent postings, both in USA Today and AP Today, as well as the Washington Post, where it's quite apparent between the deaths of these Blackwater USA people in Iraq and the fact that USA Today is reporting in conjunction with the Associated Press that in the last 4 months we have lost more Americans than in any other comparable time in the history of the war. We now have the Wall Street Journal weighing in, of course, in recent days talking about the fact that Mr. Bush wants another $100 billion for this war this year. He's asking for $145 billion in 2008, and that's even aside from the whole question of whether or not we go to war with Iran. And keeping all of that in mind, and the fact that this war was prosecuted without a congressionally mandated declaration of war, according to the Constitution of this country, we didn't have the debate we should have had prior to March of 2003. Now everybody in the Congress is talking about debate and posturing and posturing, but nobody that I'm aware of, with maybe one or two exceptions, is talking about defunding this situation, putting together a concrete plan to get out of that mess by a certain date. And certainly Nancy Pelosi herself has indicated that this talk of impeachment is simply off the table. She said that in the context of the aftermath of the election. Now, keep in mind what we were talking about before the break. You have Wes Clark being taken to task by the Jewish Telegraphic Agency and also the Anti-Defamation League for saying that New York money people, with connections obviously to the Jewish community, were behind this whole push toward a war with Iran. Wes Clark, who wants to be apparently a Democratic candidate for president in 2008, started backpedaling from those remarks after the organized Jewish lobby and media started going after him. Then, according to TotallyJewish.com, we have John Edwards weighing into this whole thing with posts from Israel and speeches delivered over there, which towed the Israeli line from point to point all the way down, from Iran to Hezbollah in Lebanon to the situation in the Gaza and the West Bank. Now, of course, we've been reading this post today at aljazeera.info, which has the actual text of Senator Hillary Clinton's recent remarks to the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. What does that tell you, folks, just as we have read about this thus far? Quite clearly, with Wes Clark and with John Edwards and Hillary Clinton, we see it with Nancy Pelosi. We see it with Steny Hoyer up on the House side in Capitol Hill. In all of these respective situations, the Democrats, just as we said that they would, are lining up behind the Jewish lobby, lock, stock, and barrel. The Jewish lobby is the basic force that was behind this American intervention in Iraq. The Jewish lobby is predominantly that group of people above board and clandestinely that is promoting an attack on Iran. This goes a long way to explaining why neither of the major political parties has any difference whatsoever on this subject and why we will be going to war with Iran in coming months. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. You can give me a call at 1-800-313-9443.